The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Time now for Dr. Health Radio, radio's original health news magazine, bringing you the latest information on medicine, nutrition, fitness, and wellness, now in its 27th year. Your host of Dr. Health Radio is health expert David Snow, who is not a doctor, and while most of David's guests are doctors or authorities in their areas of expertise, they do not diagnose or prescribe on the air. If you have a condition or illness that requires medical attention, see a health professional. The information contained in this program is for educational and entertainment purposes only. And now, your host of Dr. Health Radio, the Snowman himself, David Snow.
Here's a nurse talking about a patient at a university hospital. The 21-year-old male stated he had been out late the previous night at a bar, drinking with friends, then woke up with a headache, nausea, and vomiting. He said it felt like the room was spinning. He reported, "I think there was something in my drink." Yes, Einstein. It's a well-known substance we call alcohol, which just happens to be our topic of discussion during this hour's program. Good morning, aloha, and welcome to hour number two of the healthiest 2 hours on radio. It's the Snowman with you, keeping you cool and healthy. And we appreciate you making us a part of your holiday weekend with us. We hope to make it strong and healthy with the information we have for you on this hour of the program. Is your glass half empty or half full? Well, it doesn't matter. It's refillable. But no, I'm just kidding. Seriously, though, size matters, size of your glass, that is. Here's a recent study from England, and this was just, I think, this month or last month. It revealed that over the past three centuries, they did research on this. Wine glasses in England, get this, have gone from holding the equivalent of a double shot of liquor, which is only a few ounces, to nearly 2 cups, holding nearly 2 cups of liquid, which is almost a, what, sevenfold increase. That is quite shocking. And how different countries have different recommended limits on alcohol consumption. Well, for instance, in Australia, no more than 20 grams of alcohol per day. That's actual alcohol, you know, extracted. Portugal recommends no more than 10 to 24 grams. South Africa, 24 grams. And, a lot of countries, too, they allow more alcohol on holidays. Some countries say it's safe for people to drink more alcohol than usual on special occasions. I got news for you, folks. I know people. They can create a special occasion every year, every day of the year. Like they say, it's 5 o'clock somewhere, right? But for example, our friends to the north in Canada, their guidelines, as far as recommendations, they say up to 3 drinks for women, 4 for men in this during the holidays only. But on the other hand, some countries they recommend that people avoid alcohol altogether, at least for a certain number of days of the week. Fiji and Poland and New Zealand, for instance, all recommend at least 2 alcohol-free days per week. Well, that's notable, but you know, you think about it. Oh, okay, 2 alcohol-free days a week. That means there's 5 days a week that people can drink alcohol. Oh, my goodness. All right. In this hour of the program, Doug Thorburn, our resident alcohol addiction expert, joins us in just a few minutes talking about how to spot hidden alcoholics, and both on the road and off, and for people that you know and people you don't. We will talk about that, as well as some of the latest statistics and the benefits, as well as the downsides of alcohol. Unfortunately, there are more drawbacks or negatives or cons, but in the U.S. and Chile have the highest daily drinking limits, 7 drinks per week for women, 14 per men. In other words, 1 drink a day for women is what they recommend, up to 2 drinks a day for men. But drinking even light to moderate amounts of alcohol raises your risk for cancer. And this was from the American Society of Clinical Oncology. And this was just a recent study. They issued a statement identifying alcohol as a definitive risk factor for cancer, folks. So don't be fooled. I mean, you know, of course, if you want to rationalize, you're gonna believe that the benefits of alcohol are outweighing the risks. But it's, you know, if you look at the stats and the proof and the evidence, it's quite the contrary. In fact, when experiments call for it, just as an aside here, that's how scientists induce alcohol or induce cancer in lab animals. They give them alcohol. That's how they do it. That's when, I remember that back from the 70s. And by the way, a recent survey found that 70% of Americans did not know that drinking alcohol is a risk factor for cancer, and yet we've known this for decades. But now it's really on the map from the American Society of Clinical Oncology because they issued a statement to that effect. And I find this especially interesting, and that is that even one drink a day, with one consuming a drink of alcohol a day, there's a 30% increase in the risk of esophageal cancer compared with not drinking, which makes sense because you're exposing your tissue, your throat tissue, to directly to the, you know, your cells are directly in contact with the alcoholic beverage. What's that? You have four drinks a day? Well, then you're five times the risk for this cancer and twice the risk of liver cancer. So alcohol is a carcinogen. Hey, Highway Health Patrol reminds you, you're driving a car. It isn't a telephone booth, a beauty parlor, or a restaurant, okay? So while you're driving, it's best to avoid talking, texting, or tweeting, or teasing your hair, or tantalizing your taste buds. In other words, both hands on the steering wheel and both sides of your brain engaged in concentrating on one thing, and that is driving. And another thing Highway Health Patrol wants to remind you about is to not be a 3D driver, and that is distracted, drowsy, or drunk. After all, we want you to have as many New Year's celebrations and as many birthdays as possible. So that'll help you do that. Coming up later this hour, it's our weekly health report from veteran TV newscaster Dick Allgaier. On today's report, if you have a cell phone in your pocket, you need to hear this report and information. Then, who are healthier, men or women? You may or may not be surprised at the answer. Plus, which states are the healthiest and which rank at the bottom of the list? All these new stories coming your way on our exclusive health report during this hour's Dr. Health Show, radio's original health news magazine. Let's go to the country of Scotland, the home of Scotch. Maybe it should be called Scotchland, as in whiskey. Well, Scotland will become the first country to introduce minimum unit pricing for alcohol after its government won a legal battle with business. The aim is to cut deaths and disease associated with heavy drinking. And, you know, we know that as the prices go up, we know this works for cigarettes. As prices go up, its use goes down. Well, same with spirits and alcohol. Policy links the price of wine, beer, cider, and spirits to alcoholic strength. And they go on to say that alcohol doesn't just harm drinkers. In England, the National Health Service spends about $3 billion of taxpayers' money each year on treating alcohol-related diseases and injuries. Well, alcohol-related crime, drunken disorder, and work absence affect everyone. And that goes for the United States and other countries as well as England. And not to mention the domestic violence and child neglect, family breakdown, and on and on. So, you know, although there are a few benefits to alcohol, there are much more drawbacks than there are benefits. How different types of alcohol affect your mood? This, according to a global drug survey. Spirits are more likely to affect your mood negatively. We talked about this in the Health Hotline News in the first hour of the program, making you experience negative emotions ranging from aggression to sadness. Men in particular were most likely to report feelings of aggression after consuming spirits. In fact, Mark Billis, who wrote in the British Medical Journal, stated that for centuries, the history of rum, gin, vodka, and other spirits has been laced in violence. Red wine, on the other hand, is commonly associated with being relaxed. And beer followed closely behind in second place. But of course, alcohol is a central nervous system depressant, so even drinking wine, not a good idea in large amounts or small doses. Three things you must know about alcohol. If you like wine, pour it this way. A little bit. You know, a serving of wine is 5 ounces. That's how they do surveys. But depending on the size of the glass, some of you are drinking a pint, if not more. You could end up consuming much more than a double serving. So what you want to do is fill your wine glass to the halfway mark. And a study in the International Journal of Drug Policy found that wine drinkers who use the half glass rule automatically serve themselves 18% less than those who don't. Do you like beer? Well, wary of light brews. Now, you'd think a paler beer would be weaker than a dark one, right, when it comes to the alcohol percentage. But it's not always the case. Guinness Draught, for instance, contains 4.2% alcohol. A Bud Light Platinum contains 6%. The 6% beer doesn't sound like a big difference, but that's 44% more alcohol. So be aware of that. And then if you like cocktails, watch those mixers. You want to mix your alcohol with juice instead of soda or other caffeinated drinks, and that's because, you know, caffeine, of course, is a stimulant, and it can lessen alcohol's sedating effects, but that sedate feeling, folks, that can be a valuable cue on how alcohol is affecting you. Caffeine just makes you an alert drunk, basically. Plus, caffeine is dehydrating, as is alcohol, so you get a double effect of dehydration. So mixers can actually increase your risk for hangover, because a lot of the times hangover is a result of dehydration as well as the acetaldehyde, the byproducts of alcohol metabolism causing the headache and hangover. And by the way, carbonation accelerates the absorption of alcohol into the bloodstream by up to 300%. The fizzy ones or fizzy drinks up to the drinker's alcohol absorption by that much, so you get tipsy faster. And so basically, moderate amounts, but you know, the product is most people judge or misjudge what amounts are moderate. And ironically, one main characteristic of alcohol is that judgment is one of the first things that alcohol affects in the body, and yet you're judging that, okay, let's see, let's just pour a little more here. Okay, yeah, give me a double. Okay. What about alcohol and your weight? Don't want a beer belly? Let's talk about alcohol as it relates to your weight. Alcoholic drinks are more dense than other drinks, 7 calories per gram in alcohol versus 4 for carbohydrate-containing drinks, something to be aware of. And then alcohol also slows down your fat-burning enzymes, and it's affecting the liver, so it decreases your fat metabolism. Also decreases the amount of leptin you have in your system. That's the hormone that regulates your appetite. So you end up eating more food calories as well as the calories you're consuming from the alcohol. And one extra drink can easily contain 150, 200 calories of alcohol. All right, let's go to matters of sexual health. All right, let's see, and then we'll go to the fitness file. Okay, and in just a few minutes, Doug Thorburn, our alcohol addiction expert, joins us. But here, endometriosis affects the brain. Now, endometriosis is a female ailment. It's caused by cells from the uterus lining migrating. The endometrium moves elsewhere in the body and affects, it causes severe pain and also can cause infertility and affects about 1 in 10 women of reproductive age. I remember my sister had this. And it may reprogram the brain to cause anxiety and depression. This is huge news. They did a study with mice and they induced endometriosis cysts, and they found they behaved differently than those who had sham surgery. And they also had more anxiety and were more depressed, and this was caused by the endometriosis. These were findings at the American Society for Reproductive Medicine. They say that endometriosis affects the whole body, not just reproductive organs. And they found that the condition causes changes in the brains and spinal cords of mice that make them more sensitive to pain. And by the way, one major risk factor for endometriosis, obesity. And we're going to be talking about that in 2 weeks on our New Year's Diet Resolution show. All right, let's go to the fitness file. Now, you've heard it's all good to have a beer after training, right? Well, what's the deal with that? Well, let's look at the cold, hard science. This is from Applied Physiology, Nutrition, and Metabolism. They say chugging a beer increased dehydration and created slower reaction times and balance. Not a good thing, even if it's post-workout. Also, alcohol drastically impairs post-workout protein synthesis, so it's going to take you longer to recover, and it's not going to enhance your muscle tissue anabolism. You're going to actually break down muscle tissue. And on the physiological side, it's about as smart as taking a sleeping pill and a laxative at the same time, is what they say. Definitely don't want to do that. Cheers! Without the alcohol. All right, let's see elsewhere in the news, and we're running a little behind schedule. So let's go right to the, I'll save this fitness article for next week. It's talking about Wonder Woman. Okay, we'll talk about that on next week's show. Let's go to the Funny Bone Pharmacy. All right, let's see. Oh, I had, where is that? oh, yeah, here we go. Police in Swansea, Illinois, suspect the heir to a brewery fortune had graduated from driving drunk to flying high. August Adolphus Bush, as in Bush Beer, 53, landed his helicopter on an office complex parking lot outside St. Louis, Missouri. And they say, well, FAA investigators were still trying to determine why he had landed there whether any aviation laws have been broken, when they were called back to the parking lot around 8 p.m., where Bush, apparently intoxicated, was trying unsuccessfully to take off. Excuse me. Now, Bush failed field sobriety tests, but passed a breath test. And after they secured a warrant, Bush was taken to a local hospital for blood tests. Oh, boy. Flying drunk. How do you like that? All right, let's see. Here's, okay, what do we got here? A few other funnies for you. Okay. Here, a non-standard medical abbreviation, PIA, if you see that in the hospital. If you're a nurse, that means pain in the ass. But if you're a patient, if the patient sees or the family, patient's family asks about these abbreviations, the nurses tell them, patient is alive. That's what PIA stands for, not pain in the ass. Okay, let's see, what else? Fruitcake dumbbells. Wonder what fruitcakes are good for? You know, as I always say, friends don't let friends eat fruitcake or buy fruitcake or give fruitcake. You don't want to give fruitcake to your friends. Anyway, this custom-shaped rubber-coated grip connects two fruitcakes to make a perfect 10-pound weight cake. And it lasts for years. It shows this guy doing arm curls using two fruitcakes in his hand. All right. Okay. And then let's see. Oh, okay. And then let me use this as the kicker, and then we'll move on to Doug Thorburn. On Thanksgiving weekend, this is just this past month, police reported, in November, police reported that a couple in their early 20s in Washington State sustained multiple injuries after crashing their car into a tree while having sex. The man was drunk, and the woman was, sitting on him, engaging in some kind of activity, while they navigated a local highway. Now, get this, the man failed to negotiate the curves in the road, well, no doubt because he was paying more attention to the curves on his wife's body, and struck a tree with his car. Now, the consequence of this, the woman broke her pelvis and the man broke his wrist. That's the risk of doing this, is you break your wrist. But wait, there's more. Their three-month-old child restrained in the back seat was uninjured. Now, here's the finale. If the man is convicted, it will be his fourth DUI in Washington State. Not so funny, which is a felony offense. And by the way, a study of college students found that 33% of men and 9% of women engaged in sexual type activities while driving. Yikes, that's shocking. Okay, so not such a funny way to end the Funny Bone Pharmacy, but when we come back, we will have serious information for your health regarding alcohol and alcohol addiction with our resident guest expert Doug Thorburn, who joins us every year at this time for a special edition of the Alcohol and Your Health Show here on Dr. Health Radio. I'm David Snow. Don't go anywhere if you want to stay healthy. Back right after this as Dr. Health Radio continues.
Mom, can I have some Sprite?
Sure, honey.
Thanks, Mom.
You know what that is? That's the sound of my child thanking me for giving her something that's actually good for her teeth. Sprite Gum is part of the Sprite Dental Defense System, a complete line of oral care products made with 100% xylitol, the all-natural sweetener with proven dental benefits. So when we're at home, my whole family uses Sprite toothpaste and mouthwash to help strengthen our teeth and reduce the risk of tooth decay. And when we're on the go, I just throw some Sprite Gum and mince right into my bag. My kids love it, and I love that it's all natural. No sugar, no aspartame, or any other chemicals. Just think of that. I reward my kids for taking care of their teeth at home by giving them gum and mints on the go that are good for their teeth. Visit SpryDental.com or ask for Spry by name at your local health food store. You can also ask your dentist about Spry and make sure your mouth is receiving all the benefits of 100% xylitol products.
At Whole Foods, Vitamin Shoppe, Sprouts, Kroger's, and all natural product retailers. Find a retailer near you at clear.com.
Antioxidants are the nutritional defense force patrolling our bodies looking for free radicals. Free radicals can destroy healthy cells, leading to disease. Antioxidants are so important because they neutralize these free radicals. The master antioxidant in our body is glutathione, but as we age, our glutathione levels fall dramatically. So it is critical to constantly build up our glutathione levels. That's where RegActive, the groundbreaking glutathione-boosting supplement, comes in. RegActive is light years ahead of other glutathione supplements. It is the only formula that actually stimulates your own body's production of glutathione rather than just replacing it. And because RegActive's patented probiotic delivery system enters your body without being destroyed by your stomach acid, it effectively delivers glutathione power cells, which help your body increase glutathione levels naturally. No other product on the market today can do that for your health. Revolutionary, remarkable, RegActive. Look for RegActive at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide where Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are sold.
Did you know that kids who drink before age 15 are 5 times more likely to have alcohol problems when they're adults? Alcohol affects their judgment and their future. So start talking before they start drinking. Learn more at StopAlcoholAbuse.gov.
And since the day I left Milwaukee, Lynchburg, Bordeaux, friends, been making the bars lots of big money and helping white people dance. I got you in trouble in high school, but college now, that was a ball. You had some of the best times you'll never remember with me. Alcohol.
Ah, yes. Alcohol. Thank you, Mr. Producer. Chaz found that in the system. Was not aware of that song. All right, our guest in this hour of the program is our resident alcohol addiction expert, Doug Thorburn, who has 4 books on alcohol addiction, including Drunks, Drugs, and Debits, and the main myths about alcohol. We're going to talk about all 4 books or the content of those books, and we welcome him back to the Dr. Health Radio microphones this morning. It's hard to believe that it's been a year, but Doug, welcome back to the program. Aloha.
Thanks David. Aloha.
Thank you for being there. You know, I just want to give our health tip of the week first. The snowman says, designate before you inebriate. and that is, don't drink and drive. I am your designator, and I designate you to either drink or drive. Just don't do both activities at the same time.
And don't have sex while you're driving.
Yeah, really, really. That's actually a true story. My God, you know.
Wow.
And they were driving naked. I forgot to add that, as you can imagine.
By the way, the Bush story, probably, how could he have passed a breath test but failed a field sobriety test?
I know. I couldn't. Yeah, that was a puzzle.
Well, real simple. He was probably on pills. Combining alcohol and pills is very common.
Oh, you know what? One thing I left out of that is they found here. Here's the okay. Let me get back to this.
I'll say there you go in a minute.
Yeah, no. Also found in the helicopter, 4 loaded guns, several prescription pill bottles, and 8 dogs.
Oh geez.
I mean, wow. In the helicopter. So anyway.
Wow.
Yeah. So I might be a talkaholic or a healthaholic, but I'm not an alcoholic. But we're going to talk about the hidden, how to spot hidden alcoholics. And this time of the year, it's even more important than at other times because we have, the most dangerous weekend of the year upon us, New Year's Eve weekend. And that's when people are out and about drinking inebriated or driving inebriated.
Well, the Bush case and the naked driving sex case brings up one great way of identifying alcoholics, and that's when you shake your head and ask, what the heck are they thinking and what the heck is going on?
Mm.
You shake your head and go, huh?
And really?
There's likely an alcohol or other drug addict behind it.
And stories like that. Yeah, I can only imagine that.
Yeah.
As you mentioned in previous shows, how many times that people drive drunk before, when the ones that actually get stopped for a DUI,
the typical alcoholic drinks and drives 1,000 to 2,000 times.
Are you serious? I thought it was a few hundred.
No,
but,
no.
Mm-mm. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, best estimates are probably 2,000 times before they get
2,000 times.
And then oftentimes they don't appear inebriated and they're not tested by the officer, so they're let go.
Unbelievable. Or, some people say, I only had one drink and it was 2 hours ago. Or, they'll kind of try and blow it off or minimize it or downplay it.
Yeah, I just had a beer, Ossifer.
Yeah, right.
Now, my drug recognition expert friend of mine told me how he once pulled over somebody, cited him. He was ready to let him go, and he thought, he could be under the influence. And he thought, what the heck, I'll have him blow. So he blows into the breathalyzer and blows a .41.
Gosh.
But the drug recognition expert says the breathalyzer must be broken. I'll take you into the station. Takes him into the station. Blows a .41.
Huh. And
wow. This is a guy who really knows alcohol and alcoholics. Okay?
And yet he was almost fooled. I mean, he almost let the guy go.
Mm-hmm. The typical alcoholic does not show the classic signs of inebriation, staggered gait, slurred speech until he's at a .24.
Oh,
where
is
you
that
and right? I would be, probably comatose.
Yeah, we'd be on the floor, like.
Yeah, and people say, well, he drinks every night. No, that has nothing to do with it. How much does he drink in one sitting? And it can be once a year. And if somebody gets to a .12 and they go, I can't drive, I can't do anything, they're not an alcoholic. But they get to a .14 and they don't even look drunk, they're barely getting started, that's called alcoholism.
Okay, so how do medical professionals define alcoholism? Is it drinking every day?
Well, medical professionals have it all wrong, unfortunately. They define alcoholism as a loss of control over use. And I realized in my research that a loss of control over use is a late-stage symptom. So I asked a simple question. What does alcoholism look like in the early stages? In the early stages, they have incredible tolerance, and it's right from the get-go, and it looks like bad behaviors.
Mm.
In particular, early-stage, middle-stage alcoholism causes egomania. Egomania impels the addict to have a need to wield power over others. They wield power over others by verbally, psychologically, and emotionally abusing someone else or others in their lives, oftentimes by physical abuse and sometimes through financial abuse, which is my little forte because in my regular income-producing activity is as an enrolled agent tax professional and certified financial planner. And I observed among my clients who were being abused that the abuser was always an addict. My clients, when I brought it up, my client would say, oh, no, he's my best friend, my partner, my child, my parent. He's too smart to be an alcohol or other drug addict. I'd say it has nothing to do with intelligence or relationship. Take another look. I'd hear back from that same client a day, a week, 6 months later, saying you were right.
Huh. Now, how much or, what percentage higher incidence of financial embezzler or abuser would be attributed to alcohol? I mean, is it...
As with other crimes and serial unethical behaviors, it's probably about 80%.
80% incidence?
Yeah, nothing is 100%.
Right, of course.
But it gives me... you start with, I don't know you, I'm just meeting you, 10% odds in the U.S. of being an alcohol or other drug addict.
Wow.
And then I start observing behaviors and I ratchet up or down the odds. And I see, serious misbehaviors and a couple of three different types of misbehaviors, and I'm there. You know what I'm saying? Alcoholic.
Well, the latest studies I saw, Doug, were that 1 in 8 alcoholics, Americans, have an alcohol problem, and that they're either addicted or they
maybe
have abuse.
1 out of 8, 1 out of 10, somewhere in there. I use 10%.
Yeah, yeah.
And it depends upon ancestry, because the Southern Europeans around the Mediterranean, mm-hmm. they've had access to fermented fruits and grains for 10,000 to 15,000 years, so they've built up a fairly high tolerance to alcoholism, and their rate of addiction is probably only 5 or 10%. But you move to Northern Europe, Scandinavia, Ireland, Northern Russia, and you have 20 to 30% rate of alcoholism because they've had access to fermented fruits and grains for only 1,000 to 1,500 years, not very long to build up a tolerance to alcoholism.
Oh, so that's the reason. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, then you come to North America, Native Americans. They've only had access for 400 years. They've got a rate of alcoholism as high as 75-80% on some reservations.
Is that right? Americans can wow.
So it's not that they're bad people. It's that they've never built a tolerance to alcoholism. Mm. My hypothesis is to building tolerance has to do with simple evolution and weeding out those who were alcoholics and who engaged in risky behaviors. Mm-hmm. Because pre-modern medicine, those who engaged in really risky behaviors and hurt themselves died. So they died young.
Wow.
So they weeded out those with alcoholism that way, and those without lived. And that's why we have less alcoholism today than we had 500 years ago.
So basically, some people really can't handle alcohol at all, or they shouldn't even start or even think about drinking in moderation, because just like ecstasy or meth or some of the very addictive drugs, they can become an addict after just one use or two uses.
Well, it takes more than one use, but in the case to become physically addicted, but mm-hmm. to become psychologically addicted, your classic alcoholic who engages in misbehaviors, that's the first drinking episode. They trigger alcohol or other drug addiction, first heavy drinking episode. And I don't mean 2 or 3 drinks, but 5 or 10 drinks, case may be.
All right. Doug, we need to take a bottom of our station break. And when we come back, I want to ask you about driving, how to spot hidden alcoholics on the highways, which is very important at this time of the year, and much more information, including a few of the benefits to alcohol, as we talk about alcohol and your health and alcohol addiction with our addiction expert, Doug Thorburn. Much more information to come here on this special edition of Dr. Health, a holiday edition of the program. We thank you for making us a part of your holiday weekend. And a reminder, our show does rebroadcast tonight at 9 p.m. on the station you're listening to right now, rebroadcast the morning show. Or you can always go to drhealthradio.com for a podcast of all of our previous shows. That's drhealthradio.com. Stick around if you want to stay healthy. Back right after this as Dr. Health continues.
When it comes to probiotics, why do employees, managers, and owners of health stores recommend and personally take Theralac more than any other brand? Results. Fast results. In fact, Theralac is the fastest-acting medicinal-strength probiotic. With patented stomach acid-resistant delivery, prebiotic stimulation, and guaranteed potency, Theralac restores regularity fast while providing all the long-term benefits of a superior probiotic supplement. Don't be fooled by probiotic products that promise higher potencies or more strains of beneficial bacteria. High potency means nothing without delivery, and more strains are not necessarily better. Theralac is optimally formulated for results. Theralac, the high-potency probiotic with guaranteed strength, delivery, and stimulation, supporting your digestion, regularity, and immunity. Theralac, available in the refrigerated section of your favorite health store. For more information, go to Theralac.com.
Green means go. Active lifestyles call for extra nutritional support. For over 30 years, Kyo Green has been a trusted brand and the go-to choice for consumers concerned with getting enough greens in their diet. And now, Kyo Green's new and innovative powder drink mixes are here. Try these exciting superfood combinations for balanced green nutrition, all fast-dissolving with a light, clean taste. Start your day with Greens Blend for sustained energy to keep you going, Harvest Blend for immune defense, or Sprouts Blend for digestive support. Add to your morning shaker bottle, juice, or smoothie for a delicious and nutritious way to begin each and every day.
Kyo Greens blends feature ancient grains and seeds, barley and wheatgrass, superfoods, and fruits and vegetables for a great nutritional foundation for your health and whole body wellness. GMO-free, vegan, and gluten-free. Add Kyo Green to your day and get going.
Kyo Greens' new drink mixes are available at fine health food stores everywhere.
Is getting a good night's sleep a challenge? Fortunately, there's a superior fast-acting sleep formula called Tranquil Sleep from Natural Factors. This non-habit-forming supplement contains a unique combination of melatonin, 5-HTP, and L-theanine, which works in harmony with your body's natural sleep hormones. Tranquil Sleep can help you fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep sounder, and wake up refreshed, all without feeling drowsy in the morning. The key benefit comes from increasing the time spent in the deeper stages of sleep. It's only in these deeper levels of sleep that we truly experience the rejuvenation, regeneration, and recuperation that sleep provides. Even if you think you get a good night's sleep, give Tranquil Sleep a try. You might be surprised with how much better you've slept by waking up with more energy and enthusiasm to start your day. Learn more at naturalfactors.com.
That's the Star Wars bar theme. I'll drink to that. Cheers. Hey, what is an alcoholic's favorite drink? The next one. Okay. Might I interest you in some information about alcohol? Yes, we're talking to Doug Thorburn, our alcohol addiction expert, talking about alcohol at this time of the year, a very important time of the year to do so. And Doug, let's talk about your book, How to Spot Hidden Alcoholics. Now, there's a lot of people that are going to be driving inebriated or, as they say, buzzed. And there's really no difference between being buzzed and drunk or inebriated. It's just the level or the degree of it. But tell us how we can, you know, the average person out there listening in Radio Land can spot some of the signs of an alcoholic driving on the highways and byways that they might be sharing the road with.
Well, as in our personal and professional lives, we want to look for inconsiderate behaviors. So somebody cutting in line, weaving in and out of traffic, tailgating. Tailgating is a great indicator of a DUI. Mm. There was a study done long ago in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, of DUIs, and they found that 50% of those tailgating were under the influence.
Wow. Now,
50%. We've all tailgated from time to time. Why would the odds be so high? Because the alcoholic does it far more frequently.
Hmm.
Same with flipping somebody off. That's about a 65-70% odds of alcoholism. Road rage, probably, I think it's 100%, but it's certainly at least 80%.
Wow, really?
Yeah. Making an illegal U-turn is 35%.
Huh. Now,
I was ticketed for an illegal U-turn, but I wasn't under the influence. So why? Again, because the alcoholic does it far more frequently. Basically, they have a rules don't apply to me attitude. That's part and parcel of egomania.
Mm-hmm.
I am God. You are not.
Superiority complex, in other words.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Supreme being complex is what cops call it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why something very subtle that I found is a great indicator of alcoholism, someone making belittling remarks with someone else. Why would that be such a great indicator? Because it's a way of saying, I'm better than you. I'm better than that person.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
So there's very subtle signs, and you can observe it at an initial meeting. It's a wonderful tool for hiring and firing, for choosing tenants, for choosing dates, as I did when I was...
Actually, that's how you got into this, right?
Yes,
your girlfriend.
I was romantically involved with an addict, unbeknownst to me, and unbeknownst to the two therapists who counseled us for the better part of 2 years of a rather tumultuous relationship. Neither therapist ever once suggested the possibility, gee, maybe she's an alcoholic.
Wow.
Hence, I learned therapists don't have a clue.
Yeah.
Doctors don't have a clue.
Well,
unless they're addiction trained.
Yeah, well, and I'm not as you are, and I will tell you that you and I both had girlfriends that I had a girlfriend that for years, even after we broke up, it was years and years, and we had kept in touch with each other. It wasn't until many years later that I found out that she had an alcohol problem because she hid it so well. How alcoholics are very they must be much higher in average intelligence than the average person, because they do so well in hiding things from other people.
They focus on that.
Yeah,
if they only
right.
could focus their energies on more productive endeavors,
yeah,
they'd
right.
be so much more accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
But
wow.
they're really good at that. I was married. It wasn't the ex-wife who taught me about alcoholism. It was an ex-fiancé. But I'm halfway through writing my book when I asked the question, gee, was my ex-wife an alcoholic too? And I realized that by my redefinition of alcoholism, she was. She could drink normally for weeks, even months at a time, but every once in a while she'd have one drink too many, and the behaviors became vile, just awful.
Wow.
You know? And then that is what tore my love away from her. You know, if knowing what I know today, I would have said, honey, you got to stop drinking or we're done.
Uh-huh.
You know, and she might have made the right decision. I'd still be married to her.
Wow. Well, that's along those lines of relationships. Let's talk about, you know, with one of the main news stories of the year, sexual harassment in the news. And it seems like every week somebody gets outed as being there's a lot of victims, and then there's a lot of people that are the harassers. How does alcohol play into sexual harassment and that whole thing?
Well, sexual harassment is probably linked, again, as with other criminal behaviors and serial unethical behaviors, about 80% of the time. But sexual proclivities, yeah, maybe, maybe not. So who is it, Matt Lauer? Maybe, maybe not. You know, my antennae go up with a Matt Lauer. But with a Harvey Weinstein, it's a different story.
In what way?
Well, Harvey Weinstein has been accused of pretty vile acts by apparently 80 women, and that's quite a number. He had a lot of power in Hollywood, tremendous power,
right.
Tremendously successful. And by the way, success is often fueled by alcoholic egomania. What better way to wield power over others than by becoming extraordinarily successful? Think Ted Turner and Mel Gibson.
Oh, they were alcoholics as well?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. It doesn't preclude. It not only doesn't preclude one from being a multi-billionaire, it may assist them, perversely enough.
Interesting. Wow.
In the case of Weinstein, though, he's a sexual predator. And it turns out he was seen on a plane, photographed on a plane at one point, with a suitcase of drugs.
What? Really?
Keeps pain medications on hand. Okay, pain meds. Oxycodone, Oxycontin. Now, I don't know what Weinstein had in his suitcase, but if you're carrying around a briefcase of drugs, you're an addict. Okay, I mean, 99% odds on something like that.
Now, what about alcohol, though? Was he carrying around alcohol?
That I don't know.
Uh-huh.
But you know, alcoholics are usually cross addicted to other drugs.
Oh,
any psychotropic drug addict can become cross addicted to other psychotropic drugs.
Cross addiction.
80% of patients at the Betty Ford Center are cross addicted.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting. So, is it usually prescription medications or what? Any particular class of drugs?
Yeah. Well, the opioids and the benzodiazepines. You know, Valiums.
Okay, so if somebody's addicted to those, they're addicted to alcohol, or which way does it go?
Usually they can be cross-addicted, and usually they have a preferred drug.
Mm-hmm.
My father, for example, he was what I call a relatively benign alcoholic. Wasn't terribly destructive, but somewhat.
Uh-huh.
And he hated Valium. You know, just one of his things.
Okay.
You know? But he loved his booze.
I see. Well, you were mentioning Harvey Weinstein. He makes Bill Cosby look like a saint. I mean, look,
I know,
you know, with all the stories that were out, you wouldn't think that anybody would be worse than Cosby. But boy, Harvey takes the cake. And I'm sure he's not the last to fall. That's for sure. But
there'll be a lot more, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You know, one of the interesting cases during the year was Judge Roy Moore.
Yes. What about that?
Yeah, very interesting. I think he's a recovering alcoholic. Without ever saying so, he may not even realize it himself, but there's been nothing going wrong in his life. Well, you know, you might disagree with his political thinking and some oddball things he's done, but his wife stood by him much more strongly than a Hillary could ever stand by a Bill. And he's been, you know, a clean record for at least 32 years he's been married to his wife. So I think he was probably a heavy drinking guy in his 20s and early 30s. Heavy drinking and engaging in some misbehaviors, meaning alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
And he probably simply stopped drinking at some point when he found religion.
I see.
And you know, a lot of people don't necessarily identify them as recovering alcoholics. They just simply stop drinking. When something gets out of hand, they realize, okay, the drinking is causing me problems, and so they stop. So that's probably what happened in the case of Judge Roy Moore.
Okay, so with his personality, do you think one of the traits that he had as an alcoholic continued on, and that's one reason he didn't want to, he was hesitant to concede the election, the loss?
That's possible. He found religion, found a power higher than himself, but maybe didn't completely deflate his ego. That's
right,
a possibility.
Right.
On the other hand, he may truly believe that, you know, there might have been some voter fraud.
Mm-hmm.
So who knows?
And speaking of politicians, what percentage of politicians do you classify as alcoholics, or do you
well, 10%, we start with 10%. Then you look at what occupation, business do they get into? Where can they wield power over others? Well, mm-hmm. politics is a great place to wield power over others. So therefore, probably a far higher percentage of the political population consists of alcoholics than in the general population. My best guesstimate is probably 25%.
And since lawyers are often politicians, or politicians are often lawyers first, would that be similar in that field?
25%.
20 to 25% of
probably,
lawyers?
Probably.
Wow.
Yeah, especially trial lawyers.
Why is that? Why
and,
trial?
Well, they got to be vicious and mean.
Ah.
I think they have to be great liars in many cases, and they often are. And lying is a great way to wield power over others. If I find somebody who's a great liar, like Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, I look for alcoholism.
Oh, you think Hillary?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you don't find too much. You don't find anything if you Google Hillary Clinton alcoholic. You find nothing, but Google Hillary Clinton drinking. There is a gold mine of information on her drinking behaviors.
Huh?
Get this, flip an airplane off the ground so we can have a drink.
I remember that quote. Yes,
great
yes.
quote.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So, and she's nasty to those who protect her. Who would be nasty to those who protect you?
Hmm.
Other than an alcoholic.
Yeah. Oh, so she has a lot of enablers.
Oh, that goes hand in hand with success. The higher the social, political, economic, business success of an addict, the greater the enabling. Because everyone depends upon that person. They don't want to spill the beans, or they lose their job, they lose their income.
Of course.
That's why Michael Jackson was enabled to his death.
Oh, okay. Because
nobody would say anything except for one, I think, a child care worker who the kids loved, and he'd fire her, and the kids wanted her back, and he'd rehire her.
Yeah,
and she'd say, you've got to stop the drinking and using. And he'd fire her again.
Unreal. Oh, boy. All right, Doug, we need to take one last break for Dick Allgaier's health report. And when we come back, I have many more questions for you regarding alcohol and addiction to alcohol, and then if I can get to it, we'll give you a few of the benefits of alcohol as well. And so stick around if you want to stay healthy. We will have more information for your good health, but stay tuned now for this week's health report from veteran TV news reporter Dick Allgaier.
For the first time ever, the California Department of Public Health has released guidelines about harmful cell phone radiation and how you can avoid it. The new recommendations say, when you sleep, keep your cell phone at least an arm's length away from your body, and do not carry your cell phone in your pocket, having it either in your purse or don't carry it with you. This research suggests cell phones could increase our risk for brain cancer and tumors, low sperm count, headaches, as well as impaired memory, hearing, and sleep. Again, this information from the California Department of Public Health. A health survey in Britain found women are more miserable than men for almost their entire lives, and are happier only after age 85. It found that women get progressively happier in retirement before overtaking men in their ninth decade. Psychiatrists say this may be because so many are widowed by then. 28% of women aged 16 to 24 have mental health problems bad enough to count as a disorder, compared with 16% of men. Massachusetts is the healthiest state in the nation, according to a new report from the United Health Foundation that looks at the healthy and not-so-healthy habits of people across the U.S. The 2017 annual report looks at factors like smoking, obesity, physical inactivity, low birth weight, drug deaths, environmental conditions like air pollution, and the availability of physicians. Hawaii is the second healthiest state. West Virginia, Alabama, Arkansas, Louisiana, and Mississippi rank the least healthy. I'm Dick Allgaier. You stay healthy. That's this week's Health Report.
Do you own a dog or a cat? Then you need to know that Noni, Hawaii's most popular medicinal herb for people, can also be used for pets. In fact, thousands of pet owners give their animals Hawaiian Noni fruit leather regularly for energy, pain relief, digestion, and for their skin and coat textures. And for external use, pet owners rave about Hawaiian Health Ohana's lavender Noni lotion for wounds and infections, hot spots from fleas and ticks, and muscle and ligament strains. For more serious applications, there's the Instant Noni Aloe Bio Bandage, a natural salve with ingredients that form a protective healing barrier for maximum results. Natural healing for your pet, made from 100% pure organic Noni. Ask for the Noni Fruit Leather, Lavender Noni Lotion, or Noni Bio Bandage for pets at your nearest pet shop or health products retailer. And visit real-noni.com.
Welcome back to The Cure for the Common radio show. It's your weekly dose of verbal vitamins. David Snow on your radio. Thanks for staying with us here on the healthiest hour on radio. Hey, next week, Dr. Doug Harrington at this time of the day will have information on a new test for early prediction of heart disease long before the currently available tests will tell you anything. Things like cholesterol and triglycerides and A1Cs. It could save your life. Life-saving information on next week's show. Don't miss it. Continuing our conversation with some life-saving information regarding alcohol addiction, Doug Thorburn. Before we get back to Doug, I just want to mention a few benefits to consuming alcohol. 34% lower incidence of heart disease, but some of these numbers are skewed, and I don't have the one of the articles that I had with me regarding a few other benefits. There, you know, some double-digit benefits, but it's only comparing alcohol. Unfortunately, it's not comparing it to things like herbs, such as relaxation herbs for relieving stress. You know, they're using alcohol in relation to nothing. In other words, either alcohol or not alcohol. And then in Norway, they were saying that I remember a study earlier this year. That used the amount of one drink per week, not one drink per day, as a beneficial amount of alcohol. So a lot of people have the wrong idea when it comes to moderate amounts of alcohol. Also in France, you know, you can't go by the French paradox because France has one of the highest incidents of cirrhosis of the liver. So a lot of those people, they might have heart benefits, but they die of liver disease before they ever have a chance to have a heart attack. And then finally, and I was talking to somebody I met yesterday about this, and that is when you see the stats of drinkers being healthier than non-drinkers, part of that is because some of the non-drinkers were former drinkers that got ill or sick or diseased from drinking, and that's why they had to stop drinking. And so that skews the statistics. So you can cook the books, so to speak, in any way you want. But anyway, on with our discussion with Doug Thorburn. Now, Doug, what did we leave out? We failed to talk about some of your other books. We talked about How to Spot Hidden Alcoholics. By the way, how can people get your books? If you can give out a website, please.
Amazon. Go to Doug Thorburn. Just Google Doug Thorburn Amazon, and you'll find all four of my books up there.
And that's Thorburn.
Yes.
Doug Thorburn. And
yeah,
yeah. What are
they?
They
want to connect with me also. I've started a little page on Facebook, Alcoholism-Myths Debunked.
Oh, good.
Alcoholism-Myths Debunked. And I'm making occasional posts on subjects ranging from Judge Roy Moore, for example, to Stephen Paddock, the Las Vegas shooter.
Oh, yeah. I was going to ask you about that. What about that?
Well, he was reported by a prostitute with whom he engaged her services as having violent sex
Really?
Violence is almost always linked to alcoholism.
Huh.
And to spending hours, quote-unquote, drinking and gambling with Paddock, who she described as paranoid and obsessive.
Hmm.
So that fits the bill with alcohol and probably the paranoia often as a result of either cocaine or amphetamines. So that wouldn't surprise me at all. And so while the cops are looking for what's the reason for doing what he did, and he planned it very methodically, obviously, very carefully, that's not unknown among alcoholics. Ted Bundy did the same sort of thing.
Oh, Ted Bundy was an alcoholic.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Ted Bundy, Jeffrey Dahmer, John Wayne Gacy. You know, virtually all the mass murderers and serial murderers in U.S. history have been alcohol or other drug addicts. There's probably very few exceptions. Now, I can't prove all of them, but I could I could probably prove from the written record probably half of them. In fact, I think I have pretty much. The other half, I can't prove all prove them perhaps because the journalists don't know that it's important.
Mm.
You know, when they reported on the anthrax killer, you know, after he committed suicide, can't think of his name, but I read all about him for 5 days after his suicide and couldn't find a thing linking him to alcoholism. Finally, it took the 13th article, 28th paragraph, when the writer said, oh, by the way, he was in rehab twice that year.
Is that right?
Yep.
Wow. And even the high school shooters, you know, the murders and at the high school level, they find out they're on antidepressants. You know, these teenagers are on antidepressants.
And usually they're mixing the antidepressants with alcohol.
With alcohol, really.
Yeah, right, yeah,
wow.
Yeah. And that's probably what causes it, although if it's a psychotropic drug, it's like alcohol. Most of us can drink safely. Most of us don't act badly some of the time.
Mm-hmm.
But as with any psychotropic drug, some of us will act badly some of the time.
Right.
So
right.
If Prozac is a psychotropic drug, and I have never figured it out, you know, maybe that can cause some people to act badly some of the time. But the fact is, whenever I read that there was a Prozac killer, well, in fact, there's a website article in which somebody identified 20 mass shooters as being on Prozac or some similar drug, and I identified 13 of them as positively being alcoholics.
Oh, my gosh. Hey, Doug, we're out of time. Give us your website real quick one more time, please.
AddictionReport.com. I haven't written anything recently there, but the best one is Alcoholism Desk.
Great.
Debunked on Facebook.
All right. Thanks so much, Doug Thorburn.
Thank you, David.
That's it for this edition of the show. Thanks for joining us. Join us again next week, same time, same station, for another edition of the program. Until then, I'm David Snow reminding you that it isn't how long you live, it's how you live long. Aloha. Have a healthy week.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.